freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode number 436 of Gun Freedom Radio, where we engage, we educate, and we inform. We are brought to you by AZFirearmsAuctions.com, where you set the price on guns, ammo, and accessories. I am one of your hosts, Cheryl Todd.
And I'm the other guy, Dan Todd. I don't like to put these three words in a sentence normally, but I'm going to do it today because that's what our theme is.
Okay.
Our theme is business, guns, and politics. Politics should have nothing to do with guns.
I'm telling you.
Our guest today is Stephen Shives. Steve is a first-time political candidate, first time, running for Florida House District number 27, 42024. He has been an entrepreneur since high school, starting his own business in 1982 at the age of 16. In 2012, he started Runaway Campers, a small camping trailer manufacturing company in his backyard, and he has since grown into a nationwide company with thousands of units on the road. And Steve wants to bring that kind of business sense to the Florida House District number 27. We need people in business to be our representatives.
Absolutely. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me.
This is so exciting because I feel like we are cut from such a similar cloth. Now we are not running for office. I don't know that I am ready to ever dive into that kind of snake pit, but we have been small business owners for all the time we've been married. We'll be married 39 years this month. And, to hear that you at the age of 16 were already developing your business sense, that is amazing. So
who got you to do that, Steve?
Yeah.
What made
the business background?
Yeah. The 16 year old.
Yeah. So, you know, it was kind of, I guess, ingrained in our family, but, we've got a lot more in common than you even know yet. My wife and I were just married 38 years in January.
Oh, wow. So, congratulations.
So we'll be coming up on 39 real soon as well. And everything, but my dad was an entrepreneur. We moved to Florida from Baltimore back in 72. And my grandfather criticized him. He's like, you know, a rolling stone gathers no moss. And my dad just wanted to get out of Baltimore and, you know, get to some nicer weather and just make a better life for us and our family. And, he told my grandfather, he said, I don't want to gather moss. I want to keep moving. I want to do things that, you know, that are productive and make a difference. And so I just kind of followed along. I'm the youngest of four. And so, my older siblings, my brother is the next in line and he's 11 years older than me. So, so there's quite a spread. I was the baby and, for the most part, they were pretty well, grown up. My one sister came to Florida when we moved down, but the other two were actually stayed in Maryland for a couple of years after that, and then ended up moving to Florida too. So, but we moved there. My dad was a truck driver by trade in Baltimore. And when we moved to Florida, the pay that truck drivers were getting in Florida was a third of what they paid in Baltimore.
And
so my dad was looking for a job and they told him what the pay rate is. And he looked at the guy and said, man, he said, I wouldn't even get up there and start that truck for that. but you know, it's a mental thing because the same way the pay rate was a lot different, but also the cost of living was a whole lot cheaper in Florida back then. than it was up north. And, you know, and in a lot of ways it still is. So he just said, you know what, I'm out of the trucking business. He went and got a job at the local golf course as a maintenance worker. And so he would go in and get all the equipment, all the mowers and all the golf ball retrievers, all that stuff, get everything fixed, repaired, working, and check everything over on the grounds. And after about a month or so, my dad was very mechanical. He'd come in and within a couple of hours, they were ready to go for the day. And that was, you know, there was no glitches. And the manager of the golf course came to my dad. He said, there's no point in you hanging around here. He said, you come in, you make sure everything's good to go. And you're free to leave in the afternoon if you want. And as long as everything stays running fine, we're good. So it opened the door for my dad to start a business of his own. And he found a deal on an old rundown building downtown in Ocala and ended up buying that. And he started a used appliance business. So he was buying old appliances and fixing them up, turning around and reselling them, and became very profitable with that for a couple of years. And just moved from one thing to another.
Yeah.
But eventually landed in the auction business.
Oh my gosh.
And so for a number of years, to make the long story short, this is where things really became a game changer for me. You know, he found a deal on north of town. We lived out in the country. Yeah. He found an old warehouse that was basically just abandoned. They didn't use it anymore and needed a lot of repair. And he went and made the guy a deal on it and went in and revamped the place and started Starvin' Marvin's Country Auction Barn.
Oh, wow.
So he just started an auction business. He had a friend that was an auctioneer and he paid him to come in and call the sales and everything for us in the beginning. And we take things on consignment, but he bought and sold a lot of things mm-hmm. the same way. He just carried the appliance business, just carried over to the auction business. He would buy and sell. Well, as you guys are very well aware, you know, you get experience, you get exposed to so many things in the auction business, things mm-hmm. that, you know, a lot of people look at and they're like, what is that? And yes. So as a kid, you know, I had all kinds of things coming my way because, you know, I was discovering things. And so mm-hmm. I learned a lot very early on through the auction business.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it in turn gave me opportunities that probably that some kids didn't have. Mm-hmm. I tried everything. I was 10, 11, 12 years old and, you know, a camera came through the auction and I took the camera and I just started learning photography, mm-hmm. You know, and I think a month or so later, somebody came in with a whole darkroom outfit.
Oh, wow.
You know, and we bought a complete darkroom, you know, set up for like $25 from somebody. And I started developing pictures at home in the closet. And, fantastic. You know, so I learned stuff like that, printing and graphics. I started taking the interest in and then mechanical stuff. And my dad actually traded a window air conditioner for an old Jeep truck. And, actually just like the one
story.
In the picture, right?
Yeah.
Yes, so, I love
so he traded an air conditioner for this old Jeep.
Fantastic.
And he came home one night, it was on a trailer, we finished supper, and he said come outside, I got something for you. And I went outside and he had this old Jeep loaded up on a flatbed trailer. It was so rusted out, the bed was completely gone. Somebody had just put 4x4s across it to make a wooden bed. And he said I got you something to play with. And so I came home every afternoon from school. I was 12 years old. I worked on that thing every afternoon. And so I learned anything mechanical. I painted that thing. I did body work on it. It wasn't worth doing body work on it, but I had fun. And, you know, I learned to weld. I learned mechanical stuff. I learned to drive. So, you know, on those old country roads, I was like the king of the neighborhood driving up and down these old country roads in this old truck.
That's amazing. You know, kids don't have those opportunities these days.
Your dad gave you all these tools.
Right. And so, so then is that the truck that you, that rusted out thing with the bodywork? Is that the one that you built your first camper for? Or how did that go?
So, you know, it, I mean, that's been so long ago, but that just really got me into the entrepreneurial mindset that, you know, I could do anything. And so growing up, I mean, I grew up in a Christian home. My, my parents didn't send me to church on the church bus. They took me to church. And, you know, and they led by example, and they never let me think that I couldn't do something. So, you know, it was just, I was kind of a loner. So I guess if there was a negative in anything is that I never played team sports. I never got involved in team type activities when I was younger. So, you know, so I was perfectly content just to come home from school and go out and grab some wrenches and work on something, or you jump
on
the tractor.
Might be
Steve,
the same person.
Exactly,
he's looking at me like, everything is he telling said, my story?
You're telling my story. You're doing it. You know?
Yeah, I thought every kid grew up this way.
No, but
it's too bad more don't.
Kids with good parents grew up this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My parents were very supportive. You know, but you know, I see that sign back there that says it's time for a regular guy.
Yeah,
you're not regular anymore, but right. You are. You should be the regular guy.
Yeah,
but we're not, and
we're a rarity.
You know, to be told that to be told that you could do whatever you want to achieve, all these things, and to go out and do it. That's awesome, and it gives me chills because you're telling my story.
Yeah,
it's, I think it represents what America is supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and so to bring up a generation with that mindset that, you know, don't tell me I can't do something.
Yeah.
You know, I still get that. I still have that mentality today. So.
Yeah. My parents weren't very wealthy. And so if I wanted something, I had to figure out how to do it. And I learned how to make a mini bike. I learned how to do the things that I needed to do with what we had. And I think that's probably the most valuable tool that my mom and dad gave me is the ability to, if you want something, you have to figure a way to do it honestly and get it done. And that's what's made us strong through all these years. So
absolutely. And so
runaway
campers, was that what you called it way back then, or how did that come along?
So, well, runaway campers, I started in 2012 and, I, you know, just because of my background, I just always love to build things. And, you know, so I've been in a number of businesses over the years. It just, you know, it didn't start with trucking. I mean, I literally started just like the old Jeep. He came home with a semi truck that he bought for salvage, trailered it back. We were going to scrap it out. And I started coming home every day in the afternoon and working on this old semi truck until I got it running. So I was 14 years old out in the horse pasture teaching myself how to drive a tractor trailer.
I love it.
And, you know, and it just, I didn't know I couldn't do it.
Yes.
And so when I turned 16 and I told my parents, I said, I don't think I need to stay in school. And they're like, well, what do you want to do? I said, I just want to be in business for myself. And so they agreed to let me. First thing I had to do was I had to talk to all my teachers and I had to ask them if they felt like I needed to stay in school. And,
I like it.
You know, I went to high school one day in the 10th grade. I just started questioning them. I said, why do you think I need your class? And I couldn't get an honest, straight answer from my teachers is, you know, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, I want to drive a truck and have my own business. And, you know, and every one of them said, well, you know, we can't tell you that you're not qualified to do what you say you want to do. And I took my GED and the very next day I started the trucking business at 16 years old. You know, back then you're supposed to have a CDL. And you couldn't get you're supposed to have a chauffeur's license before the CDL. Okay. And you couldn't get that till you were 18. So, like, you know, I was driving up and down the East Coast, and my parents just, I don't know what they thought when my dad just said, please be careful. But, I drove a truck for a number of years. And then from there, got into several different businesses. From my wife and I were married in 86. And, from that point, I was in a number of different business trials and errors, stop and start, you know, trying to make anything work to make a living. And I pastored a church bivocationally for 17 years of our marriage.
Wow. Okay, there's something I hadn't done.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I can tell you that's goals. An interesting challenge as well. It might be right up there with politics.
No doubt.
But, I do think in a kind of way in the business I'm in, because I have to counsel a lot of people that are in their older ages to figure out what to do. So sometimes I think I am, because I don't have the training for it, but I help people. So I drove a truck. I guess I kind of pastor people, but what else?
Yeah. So, what else, oh my goodness. I actually wrote a book, a story, you know, the names were changed to protect the innocent, called The Venturist. It's literally 12 different businesses that I've attempted over the last 45 years, and things that went right. It's all the way right up to the point that the camper business started. And I ended that book with really what led into it. I just didn't know it was going to happen yet. Mm-hmm. And so I just like to build things. And I've built a number of houses, our own homes over the years. We've always built our own. I've helped family members build houses. I've worked on cars and, you know, done a little bit of everything. But I had an idea. I had some scrap material, some salvage stuff left over from an old transit bus that I was working on. And it gave me the idea for this little camping trailer. And I thought, I'm just going to do something easy and fun. And over the course of a weekend, 4 or 5 days, I built this little camping trailer just for fun, not really planning to start a business. I put it on eBay and I sold it as a prototype, because I thought, well, I'll call it a prototype because then people will at least take it seriously.
Yeah.
But they won't expect too much.
Yeah.
And so I put it on there. But when I did, because I had a background in doing graphics and everything, I had a small sign business when I was pastoring that I did. So I did the logo, the name Runaway. Like 15 minutes, I came up with this whole thing.
Wow.
And put it all together. And I put the logo, the same logo that we use today, on the side of this prototype camper made out of salvage parts. Sold it on eBay in a day and a half to some people in Kentucky. And as soon as it sold, I started getting messages through eBay saying, did they buy it? Did they pay for it? If they don't take it, I want to buy it. Will you build another one? So it was just, you know, it was these messages back to back. And I told my wife, I said, I had no idea there was a market for something like this. I said, I might be onto something. I said, so hear me out. And I told her, I said, I think I'm going to try this. I said, I think I'm going to commit to building 10 of these. This was August of 2012. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to commit to building 10 of these. We'll market them on eBay. Mm-hmm. And if we sell 7 out of the 10 by the end of this year, I'm going to spend all of 2013 just seeing where it goes. Mm-hmm. And which was really a unique commitment for me, because I was used to just bouncing all over the place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mm-hmm. I dabble in a little bit of everything. And I said, if it works, I said, I'd like to see what happens. So anyhow, December 31st came and I got a phone call from an 81-year-old man in San Antonio, Texas, saying, I want to buy one of those runaway campers. And we sold the last one.
Wow.
And I told my wife, I said, well, I said, it's game on, babe.
Nice.
I said, your job is to keep me focused all of 2013. I said, don't let me look at a for sale sign. Don't let me go to an auction. Don't let me do anything but focus on this one thing. Mm-hmm. I said, we'll see where it goes. And if it works, great. And I said, we'll do it. And I said, at the end of 2013, we'll decide what to do next. I said, if it, you know, if it doesn't go very well. I said, we'll just say, hey, we had a good time and, you know, we'll move on to the next thing. I'll, one way or the other, I'll pay the bills. And so 2013, awesome. We ended up building 150 units.
Wow.
What year was that? Was 2013.
13.
That year that you were supposed to build 10.
We built 10 to sell in 2012, the end of 2012.
Okay, got you.
That was the litmus test. I said, if it works, then we'll do it. We'll spend a whole year. And so we did, and we sold 150 units. And it just started, 70 and 80 hours a week. That's the American dream, folks.
Yes.
Are your hands still in the manufacturing?
No, I mean, for the most part, I enjoy doing that kind of stuff. So, so if somebody's out and I get to fill in, it's a treat for me. To do certain things, but it's really over the last, I'd say, 5 to 6 years, I've kind of stepped back more, because we're at a stage now where we have 5,000 plus units on the road, and so it's just grown. And done very well. And it's given us an opportunity to do things that, in our community, as well as just be an example to other people and encourage people with the American dream,
Well, what I'm hearing you say is that you know how to fix things. And then I see that sign behind you. And I say, you know what, who do we need more in any of our political realms than people that know how to fix what's been so misused.
I was going to ask Steve, I said, in my plans today, I was going to ask you, what makes you an exceptional candidate for state representative in your district?
Right.
You just answered all of it. Mm-hmm. You just answered it with the experiences, life experiences. You're a Christian. You work hard. You can fix things. You are the one.
You've got values that carry forward.
Yeah.
So we've got a rusted out bed of a pickup truck of a nation. And, and each state has its own version of that, including Florida, even though you guys have done pretty well through the last several. But what do you bring specifically to the table in that arena?
So, I was asked about doing this. It's an open seat that I'm running for. And so last year I had a phone call, and I guess leading up to it, I actually had helped out a couple of years ago with my nephew. He was running for office and running for Congress actually. And I got involved in his campaign. It was 2020. It was kind of, something different. I'd never really, gotten totally involved in something like that before, or not in a long time. I helped out. His father was a state representative in Georgia in the late 70s. And so when I was a teenager, I was up there and helped out a little bit. Actually was, as you know, went up for during the summer and was a legislative aide and a page there at the state house. And then recently my nephew started running for office, and he said, hey, he said that, would you help me out? So, one of the hardest things to do is ask people for money to contribute to a campaign,
I hate it.
And, I'm like, oh, so two of the things that I hate more than anything is one is putting myself out there, because I said, I've always been a loner. So, I've not really been the outgoing type. I can deal with people in a crowd, but just to meet people one-on-one on the street has never been my strength. Mm-hmm. And asking people for money is right there along with it. It's like, oh man, it's a tough thing to do, but I said, yeah, I'll support your campaign. And, so in doing that, I really took an interest in it, because I believe, we put our money in something, it shows that it already has value to us, and so I got involved and started seeing things behind the scenes and had fun with it, and he didn't win. Mm-hmm. And then last year he came up, he said I'm gonna run for state representative. There's a seat that's open that the state rep had to resign because of some unfortunate issues, but but they had to have a special election. He said, you know, just call and see if you'd help me out. And I'm like, yeah, I'll help you out again. So we got involved, and then I started getting a little more involved, and I took some of my semi-trucks, and I said, look, I said, I think we can do these trucks up, and we'll put some banners on the side of these semi-trailers. And I said, we'll find places around the county that we can park them. I said, and I'll move them about every 3 or 4 days. Mm-hmm. I'll move those trucks around the county. I said, before long, people are going to think, man, these are everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and I just had one. But I would move it around the county, you know, so often, and it got so much attention. And he's like, man, he said, it's working. He said, I got phone calls from people saying, man, I'm seeing your trailers everywhere, all over the place. You know, I said, it's so funny because, you know, it was kind of an illusion that worked.
Yeah.
And so last year, he calls me up and he said, hey, he said, I got a question for you. I said, sure. He said, I'm up here in Tallahassee. He said, and Stan McLean is a state representative in your district. He's terming out next year and he's going to be running for Senate. And my initial response was, yeah, I'll support his campaign. And he said, that's really not why I'm calling. He said, you know, apparently you made a pretty good impression on some people during my campaign. And some of those people are part of his campaign team. And they've been looking for somebody that would fit this community and run for this seat. And your name just keeps coming up. And would you consider doing it?
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, man, I said, I think you got the wrong guy. But the very same things that you're saying, Danny, is what they